Amen. All right, we're teaching on spiritual warfare. It says here in verse 10 of chapter 6 of Ephesians, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, and against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand. Therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, take the shield of faith, wherewith we shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." Praise God. All right, we're in this area where last time we started talking about the Navy SEALs. And we started talking about them as we're contrasting them with where we are today as God's army. And we said something about them. We said that they were ruthless. We said they are very aggressive. And we said they're very highly dedicated and absolutely fearless, very bright, and that they're warriors. And that's pretty much where we stop. Now, one of the things that I talked about on Sunday and talk about now is this army. And that if you go to Joel chapter 2, please.
Put something here. I'm coming back to this one right here.
Joel chapter 2, and he says, starting at verse 1, "Blow ye the trumpet in Zion, and sound the alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble. For the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand. The day of darkness and of gloominess, a day of clouds and of thick darkness, as the morning spread upon the mountains, a great people and a strong, there hath not been ever the like, neither shall be any more after it, even to the years of many generations." And then let's go all the way down to verse 5. He says, "Like the noise of chariots on the top of mountains shall they leap, like the noise of a flame of fire that devoureth the stubble, as a strong people set in battle array." Now, I'm not going to go any further than that. As you can see, this is painting a picture of an army that God is raising up in these last days. Now, so since you're talking about an army, I said, all right, now this is spiritual warfare. We're talking about an army. Well, let's just deal with this army, because the first phase of getting an army is we've got to recruit. We've got to recruit. And it's kind of interesting what this lady said on television the other night. She said, you know, this is a secular program. She said, you know, I'm not sure what's happening to churches in the United States. They said, what do you mean? She said, well, I don't see any young people in them. She said, everybody I see is old. She said, in her church. Now, when she said that, I said, now this is interesting, because if you look at the church overall in the United States, some of that is possibly true. Now, what happens to the young people? Now, so I start thinking about this. And perhaps what's being taught, what's being done. I know that when Jesus taught, everybody came, young and old. Little boys' faith was used. When in the Old Testament, how they characterized young people like David, 16 years old, or just it seems to be that the gospel that was intended for all kinds of people, no matter what background they were, no matter what race they were, no matter what profession they had, no matter how old they were, how young they were. And I think it's a ploy of the enemy to try to steal our young folk and just leave folk in the church that plan to sit. They have no desire to really do anything. They just want to sit, want some place to go, you know. We need some place to go. And so as I was looking at that, I said, now, first of all, it starts with recruiting. It starts with recruiting. And I think sometimes when churches recruit people, they recruit them by basically giving them knowledge that if they come into the church, they're going to miss hell when they die. Well, some of them say, well, I'm not coming in right now because I got some living here to do. And when I get done with all this out here, then I'll come in there. Because the only thing they're doing is missing hell, because they're just as broke as me, just as sick as I am. They're just having as many marriage problems as I am. Why do I need to go in there? The only reason I'm going in there is to miss hell. Well, I can do that later. Well, I got it's time. I just get to smoke reefer first, then go in there. I'm just showing you the attraction that the world has on them, that the church is not offering a real viable alternative. If anything, we're trying to scare them to come in. They don't care anything about that. They want adventure. And the church should be the most adventurous place on earth. People should come in the church, not to sit, but to hear and see something. That it should be something happening in the church all the time. I'm talking about supernaturally. You get this many people together with this much anointing, somebody gonna get healed. So I looked at this thing, and I just kind of looked, and I looked over here in Luke's Gospel, chapter 5. And look at Luke's Gospel, chapter 5. And he says, this was when Peter was fishing. And after he'd fish, the Bible says that Jesus, he was over washing his net, and Jesus asked him to use his boat. Now, Jesus is recruiting. He said, let me use your boat. So he set out and taught in his boat. And then after he finished, he said, now let's launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And what happened? He launched out, caught in a boat sinking, net breaking load of fish. And it drew him to his knees. And verse 11.